This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Our hour of crime begins this week with Dragnet. We'll hear The Big Saint from April 26th, 1951. After that, it's Mr. District Attorney and The Case of the Living Corpse, his story from November 22nd, 1953.
The story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, brings you Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to auto theft detail. A well-organized ring of car thieves begins operations in your city. It's one of the most puzzling cases you've ever encountered. Your job? Break it. You'll be amazed when you compare Fatima with other long cigarettes.
You'll find they now cost the same. But in Fatima, the difference is quality.
You see, Fatima is the quality king-size cigarette because it contains the finest domestic and Turkish tobaccos superbly blended. And Fatima is extra mild, with a much different, much better flavor and aroma than any other long cigarette.
So compare Fatima yourself. Fatima's now cost the same as other long cigarettes, but your first puff will tell you...
Ah, that's different.
Yes, in Fatima, the difference is quality. Ask your dealer for Fatima, the quality king-size cigarette. Best of all long cigarettes. Start enjoying Fatima tomorrow.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Monday, May 11th. It was fair in Los Angeles. We were working a day watch out of auto theft detail. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Captain Stilson. My name's Friday. It was 8:35 a.m. when I got to room 40, auto theft division. Captain's office.
Morning, Friday.
Morning.
Hi, Joe.
Ben.
You want to sit down?
Thank you.
I was just telling Romero here, I'm briefing all the men in the bureau on this thing. That's the reason I called you two in.
Yeah.
I got some figures here I want to go over with you.
All right.
As you know, the percentage of all auto theft recoveries is 96 to 98% on the average. That's normally.
Yeah.
And checking the monthly averages the past 4 months, that percentage has dropped to the low 80s.
Quite a drop.
Corner Pocket thinks so, too. They want some action on it.
Well, we've been working on it.
Absolutely no pattern to the thefts. Time, location, the method makes it impossible to stake out on it.
Yeah, those are some of the reasons our percentage is taking such a dive. I know the problems. We all do, but we got to break this thing soon.
Well, it figures we're dealing with a well-organized bunch. They know what they're doing.
And cross-checking all the reports, it seems to boil down to this in general. It appears that all the outstanding thefts are GM cars. Cads, Pontiacs, Chevys, Oldsmobiles. All late models, all seem to be in good condition, low-mileage cars.
Well, in addition to the regular broadcast and teletypes, we got out a special bulletin on this, didn't we?
That's right. All the thefts were listed, license, make, model, and color.
Mm-hmm.
Been sent to all major cities and border patrol stations. Nothing so far.
I was checking through the salvage reports. Salvage by. Do you have the last 2 months' escape from March and April?
Yeah, right here. I noticed the same thing. That outfit down on San Pedro Street?
Yeah, let me see. Oh, yeah. This is a composite on the reports for the past 2 months?
That's right.
This one here. Herman Salvage, 2716 West San Pedro. They seem to deal a little heavy on General Motors cars, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I've been watching the buys on this place for the past few weeks now. I wanted to make sure it wasn't coincidence.
Well, looks like a good place to run down anyway.
You two want to check it out?
All right, fine. 2716 West San Pedro.
That's it. Outfit appears to be okay. Never been out of line.
Seems funny they should deal with the top avian GM cars, doesn't it?
Right when our recovery percentage takes a dive, yeah.
Do you have the last salvage report there, Captain?
Yeah,
the last one.
Here you are.
Thank you. Yeah. Here's one for Herman's, 1949 Cadillac. And a little further down, Herman's again. 47 Olds. Yeah. There's 5 GM buys on the list. Herman got 4 out of 5 of them.
Let's find out why.
From the time an automobile is first manufactured and sold, a constant and complete record is maintained on that automobile. His certificate of ownership, the pink slip in the state of California. His certificate of registration, the white slip. These 2 slips of paper contain the information necessary for the positive identification of your car. A fact that every motorist knows. Now, there are many agencies that work for the protection and security of your automobile. One of these is the National Auto Theft Bureau, a kind of nationwide clearinghouse. Acting upon information supplied by the various insurance companies and other allied agencies, this bureau forwards all facts and figures concerning the disposition of motor vehicles on a nationwide basis. Reports are made available to all law enforcement agencies. One of the pieces of information put out by the National Auto Theft Bureau is the salvage report, listing all sales and purchases of automobiles that, for one reason or another, may have been relegated to the junkyard or to the salvage company, a fact that many motorists may not know. 9:14 a.m., Ben and I checked through the police commission and found that the owner of Herman's salvage was a Herman Lester. He had been in business at the same location for 6 years and appeared to be a reputable businessman. We drove down to 2716 West San Pedro to check it out. It was an average-looking garage with a connecting salvage yard filled with several hundred smashed-up cars of all makes and models. It was 9:32 a.m. when we walked into the garage.
There's a fellow there in a white shirt.
Yeah, I see him.
Can I help you, gentlemen?
Yes, sir. Police officers. Auto theft detail?
Oh, yes. I don't believe I know you fellas. My name's Lester.
This is Sergeant Friday. My name's Romero.
I do.
How are you? Are you the owner here?
Yeah, that's right. Whatever happened to Mac and Donovan? Used to drop in once, twice a month. I haven't seen him for 2-3 weeks now.
Well, they're a little busy on a special assignment.
Oh, I see.
Bart, if we look around here?
Oh, you bet. Make yourselves right at home. Anything special?
No, just looking.
Okay.
Notice you've been pretty busy, huh?
Yeah, had a pretty good month. Salvage racket's going to get sour again, looks like, with the Korean War and all the cutbacks.
Doesn't seem to have hit you so far.
Well, no, not so far. Looks like it may tighten up any time.
I noticed from our salvage report you've been doing a big business in GM merchandise.
Yeah, we have. You know, they're starting to build tanks back there now. We wanted to make sure we wouldn't run short on parts.
You get a lot of call for GM parts, do you?
Oh, yeah, we sure do. Everybody in town knows if they need something for a Caddy or a Buick or any of those cars, this is the place to come. We kind of built up a reputation specializing in GM used parts.
I see.
Mind if we check your last few buys?
Fine.
You have a 49 Cadillac, 47 Olds, Pontiac 48, 1949 Chevrolet. Wonder if we might see those.
Yes, sir. Right out in the yard. Back this way. All 4 of them are really bent up, bad shape. Just breaks your heart to see beautiful merchandise like that all smashed up. I don't know what people are thinking of the way they drive.
Yeah.
And you take a new Caddy, one of those new convertibles, really beautiful merchandise. Somebody takes one out, rolls it, we pick it up and tow it down here. Beautiful car like that all rolled up in a ball.
Georgia Street Receiving Hospital probably picked up the rest.
Yeah, it was really a shame. Well, here we go. There's a Caddy.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. The Olds and the Pontiac are in that row there. You see them?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And the Chevrolet, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. 1949.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There she is over there. Third car down. Maroon. See it?
Maroon one, yeah. Down there.
Yeah. Looks like a graveyard, doesn't it?
Sure does. What do you do with all these cars? Strip them down for parts?
Well, at least the 4 you're checking now, yeah. They're all total wrecks. Nothing much can be done with them except for parts.
Mm-hmm. How about that Cadillac down there, the sedan?
Huh?
That one over there, can't you fix that one up? That doesn't look beyond repair from here.
Oh, step around the other side here. You can't see from where you're standing. Here. And the right side's all stove in. By the time you figure replacing those side panels and fenders, trim, we couldn't come out on it.
Yeah, I see now. Well, I don't know too much about it, but it'll look good from over there.
Yeah, that's what we get all the time. People want us to pay top prices for stuff we can't get our money out of. If we could repair them, fix them up, and resell them as a complete automobile, there'd be a lot of money in this business.
You do that with some of them, don't you?
Oh, very few of them, I'll tell you. That's what we look for, but we don't always get lucky.
Mm-hmm, I see.
Say, how'd you boys like to see some really beautiful merchandise?
What's that?
Well, come on back in the shop.
All right.
Kind of a hobby of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what keeps us busy. Plates and pink slips on their way up to Sacramento for cancellation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, over this way. Here we are. Take a look at this baby.
Yeah. Hot rod, huh?
No, not exactly. We don't go in for that kid stuff racing around town.
Well, sure, looks like one.
Yeah, but it's a little better than most of the kids can throw together.
What'll it do?
We clocked her up at Muroc at 112 last weekend. You know, they've been coming in here from all over town to see this car.
That's so.
Yeah. You ever get up to Muroc Dry Lake?
No, I never do, but that's the place for it. Running around town on those things can cause a lot of accidents.
Those drag races the kids have? Yeah. We don't go in for that stuff. This is strictly scientific as far as I'm concerned. I like to build them up, see what we can make them do.
Cost a lot of money, don't they?
Got $5,400 in this one right now. I'm putting more into it. Mallory ignition, milled heads, twin Wakefields. Here, let me start it up for you.
Okay.
120 horses under there.
Yeah, sounds good.
Listen at that. Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Out of power here.
Sure is.
You ought to see it up at the lake. He really goes.
Yeah, I'll bet. This all made up out of salvage cars?
Every bit of it. Buy a few things new, but most of it's right out of wrecks like those outside there.
Takes a lot of talent to build up something like this from scrap, doesn't it?
No, not really. After you've been at it long as I have, it's not too tough. The trick is to get more speed out of them than anyone else can.
Yeah, you did a good job on this car, right?
Oh, if you put your mind to it, you can do a lot with a wrecked car.
Before we left Herman's salvage, we checked all four of the GM cars that were listed on the salvage report. We made a careful check on all of the cars in the yard and in the garage, paying special attention to the few cars that were in the process of being rebuilt by Herman Lester's mechanics. We went over his records, carefully checking the disposition of all of his buys for the past several months. Everything was in perfect order. We found that in the past 3 weeks, Lester had taken in 10 cars. 8 of them had been stripped down for parts, and 2 of them had been rebuilt and resold. The investigation showed that 4 of those cars were GM cars, and the 2 that were resold were both General Motors. 11:28 a.m. Ben and I drove back to the office and asked Mac and Donovan if they'd check through the 2 resale cars to make sure everything was in order, as the reports indicated. We checked through on the remaining 8 cars that were listed by Herman Lester as broken down for parts. According to DMV, all plates and pink slips had been returned to them for cancellation. 11:50 a.m.
Well, that's it, Joe.
Yeah.
8 of the cars check out. 2 of those were GM.
Yeah, well, that leaves just the 2 that Mac and Donovan are checking, huh?
Oh, I don't know. Everything down there looked all right. It's a cinch Lester wasn't holding back anything, as far as I could tell. Cooperative, everything in order.
If those 2 that Mac and Donovan are working on check out.
I got a hunch they will. Seems to me Lester told us everything. Everything we asked him, anyway. I don't think he held back.
If he did, I got an idea who might be able to tell us somebody's been left out in the cold here.
What are you getting at?
Well, now, if Herman's been able to buy up all those GM cars, what have the other salvage dealers been doing about it?
That's a thought.
Let's check his competition. 12:40 p.m. We drove back down to West San Pedro Street. We picked out a group of salvage companies in the immediate neighborhood close to Herman's. 3209 West San Pedro, John's Wrecking Yard. We introduced ourselves and started to talk with the owner, a John Bacon. A routine check was made of his establishment, and as far as we could tell, everything appeared to be okay.
And that's all you made, huh? Just that one buy?
That's it. 1946 Ford. We're dying a slow death.
Business pretty bad, huh?
Never seen it worse. At least as far as we're concerned.
How do you account for that, Mr. Bacon?
Oh, everything, I guess. Business bad all over at the moment. Scrap metal situation's in a state of flux at the present time.
In looking around, Mr. Bacon, we noticed you don't have much in the way of General Motors stuff. Is that because of GM going into war production? Any cutback would eventually affect you fellas, wouldn't it?
No, not at all. Cutback would, sure, but there's no tremendous curtailment right at the present time. They're still turning out a lot of automobiles back there.
Well, then what's your problem?
We're being outbid, right up and down the line by the same outfit.
Who's that, sir?
A company by the name of Herman Salvage, just up the street there. Go out to buy a piece of merchandise, their boys just won't let us get near it.
They pay more than you do, huh?
More than we can, Sergeant. I honestly don't see how they're coming out on some of their deals.
It's that much out of line, huh?
Certainly is. You know, whenever there's anything available, all the salvage companies get their bid in. Well, Herman simply outbids all of us.
Yeah, it makes it kind of rough.
I'm not the only one. Pete Larkin up the street, old man Henry next door, all of us. I don't know what we can do about it. Herman seems to be doing all right, no matter what he pays for his cars.
Mm-hmm.
None of us can figure it out. Just judging from the number of cars he outbids us on and the number he rebuilds, I just can't see how he's coming out.
But he is, huh?
Figure he's laying odds on a big shortage. That's what all of us think.
He's laying in a stockpile. Is that the idea?
Sure. What else could it be?
We continued our check on all salvage dealers, both in the neighborhood of Herman Lester's place and throughout the city. It seemed to be a fact well known to most dealers that Herman was outbidding all of them on any and all GM automobiles. The only possible explanation was that he must be trying to lay in a large stockpile of this particular make of car. 3:35 p.m. We received word from Sergeants Mack and Donovan that they had checked out the two remaining cars listed in Herman's books, the resales. Ben was right. They checked out with no discrepancy. During the next 10 days, the investigation continued. The theft of late model GM cars continued with few recoveries. Suspects were arrested and questioned. We could find no connection that might lead us to an organized ring of car thieves that might be responsible for the lack of GM car recoveries. The salvage report showed no change in Herman's buying technique. Apparently, he was still dealing heavy on the one particular make of car. Thursday, May 25th. We received a teletype from DMV listing all the salvage buy transfers. In making our usual daily check of this teletype, we noticed a 1949 Cadillac, engine number 598-77415. It had been resold from salvage to a used car lot.
That's the place right up the block.
Yeah, I see.
Same cad we saw in Herman's salvage yard.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? The one in particular that I asked him about, you remember?
Yeah, I remember. You thought it could be fixed up. He said no.
It's only been a little over 2 weeks ago, hasn't it?
Yeah, I try.
Well, it still doesn't prove anything.
Here we are. Jake's. This is the place.
Yeah, there's a cad in the front line right down there, huh?
Mm-hmm. I don't see anyone around, do you?
No, I don't. Well, I guess it's all right to check the engine number anyway.
Yeah, I'll get the hood release.
Right. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, the engine's had a good steam cleaning. Let's see. 598-77415.
That's it. Herman sure did a nice job on it, didn't he?
Yeah. Almost looks too good, doesn't it?
Yeah, just a minute.
Yeah.
Body serial doesn't match. Doesn't correspond with the engine model.
It's a 49 body. Could be a late 49, but it's a definite switch, isn't it?
It sure is. That's funny.
Yeah. Look at this right side here. This was the bad side, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Does it look like it's been rolled out to you?
No, there's no feathering, no orange peel. Either that's the best repaint job I've ever seen, or it's never been in an accident.
Yeah. I'll take a look underneath.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Want to move your feet there?
Yeah, all right. Anything?
No, nothing. There's not a seam or a joint under there. No welding marks of any kind. This car's never been in a smash-up.
The engine number checks, the body doesn't.
And this is the one Herman couldn't fix up.
That's what he said. Maybe he changed his mind.
Or he lied.
You are listening to Dragnet. From beginning to end, Dragnet is the authentic story of your police force in action.
Now, from beginning to end, the Fatima story. Actual convincing proof that in Fatima, the difference is quality.
Quality of tobaccos. The finest domestic and Turkish varieties, extra mild and superbly blended to give you a much different, much better flavor and aroma.
Quality of manufacture. Smooth, round, perfect cigarettes. Rolled in the finest paper money can buy. Manufactured in the newest and most modern of all cigarette factories.
Quality, even to the appearance of the bright, clean, golden yellow package, carefully wrapped and sealed to bring you Fatima's rich, fresh, extra mild flavor.
Because of its quality, its extra mildness, its better flavor and aroma, more long cigarette smokers are now insisting on Fatima than ever before.
So if you smoke a long cigarette, compare Fatima. You'll find they now cost the same. But your first puff will tell you,
ah, that's different.
Yes, in Fatima, the difference is quality. Insist on Fatima. Start enjoying the quality king-size cigarette. Fatima. Best of all long cigarettes.
...1949 Cadillac, engine number 598-774-15. In checking out this automobile, Ben and I had found that the engine number corresponded with the salvage report concerning Herman Lester's plate. The one big item that did not jibe was the fact that the engine was now mounted in a different body than when the car left the factory, a fact that had to be accounted for in complete detail. When we had checked this automobile on the 11th of May at Herman's salvage yard, both engine and body numbers corresponded. In taking a close look at the car, it was obvious that the body had not been repaired in any way. It was clear that this particular car had not been in any kind of collision. We went back to the rear of the lot and asked one of the salesmen not to sell the car without informing us. When we got back to the office, we started rechecking all of the auto theft reports. We found 5 stolen Cadillacs, but all the body styles and models were different, with the exception of one, a 1949 Cadillac sedan, reported stolen on May 14th. It was registered in the name of William Brownell. We checked his home and found that he was at work. He was a superintendent for the North American Van Line. We drove over and picked him up and took him to Jake Hughes' car lot on Vermont Avenue.
This is the car, Mr. Brownell.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just like mine, but I don't think it's the one.
Are you sure?
For one thing, it's a different color. My car was maroon.
You want to step over here, Mr. Brownell?
Sure.
Now, if you'll look very closely here on the door edging and on the jamb, right here, see? This is the one place sometimes they miss with a spray gun if they're going to repaint.
Oh, yeah, there's a faint trace of red under the blue paint there.
Looks like it could be maroon, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does it there.
This car's been repainted. It was maroon.
Uh-huh. Well, mine didn't have these kind of seat covers. Let's see. Same kind of upholstery I had, though, underneath here. I don't know.
Mr. Brownell, there must be something other than the color in the upholstery that you'd know your own car by.
Never gave it much thought.
Well, there's usually some little identifying mark of some kind. I know that on my car, the lens on the right headlight got broken, and I had to replace it with one that didn't match.
Something like that, sir? Let me see. Could I look inside there a minute?
Sure.
Right here under the speedometer, there was a thumbprint pressed in at the factory. It's pretty deep. No, it's not there now.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget that the car's been repainted. It might have been covered up.
No, this was clear down to the metal. Apparently, when they were installing the instruments at the factory, the panel wasn't dry yet. Not there now, and they couldn't have covered it up unless they made a special point of it.
Well, sometimes that's done. Car thieves are kind of clever.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. I don't think this is my car. Don't think I don't wish it was, but it's not.
Can you think of just one other thing, maybe? Just one mark of identification is all we need.
No. Even these tires aren't mine. I had white sidewalls.
Oh, could have been switched.
They were pretty new. Wait a minute. I think I remember something. No, there's no rip up there.
What's that, sir?
I just thought of something. The boys down at the office gave me a St. Christopher medal. You know, the large metal kind you're supposed to bolt to your dashboard?
Yes, sir.
I didn't want to put it on, so I carried it around with me in the car. There was a rip up there in the inner lining of the top, but you see, there's no rip in this.
Let me see. How about it, Ben?
Yeah. Yeah, I can feel it.
Does it feel like a metal?
Let me get my pocket knife on it.
Okay.
What do you think? They replaced the cloth up there?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, here it is.
Mm-hmm. Is this it, Mr. Brownell?
That's it. Look, on the back there, my name's engraved on it, see?
Yes, sir.
Well, I sure didn't think this was my car. I never would have known it.
That's what the guys figure who stole it.
The 1949 Cadillac was taken to the police garage and a complete and thorough check was made. The car, with the exception of the engine, was positively identified as the property of William Brownell. This definitely implicated Herman Lester and showed his salvage operations to be illegitimate. He had obviously been buying one particular make of salvage automobile, outbidding all his competitors to do so. When he would buy a piece of wrecked equipment, an exact duplicate would be stolen to match it. He would then dispose of the engine from the stolen vehicle and replace it with a salvage engine. With this system of operation, Herman Salvage had been enjoying a lucrative business, which accounted for a great percentage of the stolen cars that we hadn't been able to recover. 7:25 p.m., May 25th. We drove out to pick up Herman Lester. His home address was listed as 8625 Wonderland Drive. It was up in the Laurel Canyon District, a heavily wooded section of Los Angeles.
Pretty nice place up in there.
Yeah, which you can see of it through the trees.
Well, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that, Joe.
Yeah.
Looks like a 50 O's. Everything there but the engine. No plates.
Mm-hmm. I didn't notice that from the street, did you?
Never could have seen it from down there.
Mm-hmm. Looks like a garage back up in there, doesn't it?
Perfect spot. Can't see any of this from the street with all those trees. Pretty fancy layout for a home garage. Good size.
Yeah. Somebody's working up in there.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hi there. What brings you fellas way up here?
We want to have a little talk with you.
Oh, you bet. Come on in the house. Have a cold beer, huh?
No, this will be all right.
Joe, you got a hot sheet?
Yeah, right here.
Kind of caught me by surprise here, working out in the garage.
Yeah, that figures, Lester. These plates are from a stolen car.
You sure?
That's right.
You remember a 49 Cadillac we looked at down at your place a couple of weeks ago?
Oh, not sure. 49 Cad?
That's right. Whatever became of that car?
Oh, now I remember. Yeah, I sold that car to Jake's over in Vermont.
Thought you told us you couldn't fix it up.
I don't remember. You sure you don't mean some other car now?
No, it's the same one. You know the one we mean. How about it?
How about what?
That was a stolen car, Lester, and you know it. That's a stolen car out there in the yard, isn't it?
Watch that hoist, Ben! There he goes, Joe! All right, Lester, hold it! Stop it, stop, Joe!
All right, now, come on. Stop it, Lester. Stop the hammer.
Go with me.
All right. I'll get the cuffs, Joe. Oh,
come on, get up on your feet.
All right, come on. On your feet.
Stand still.
Rough one, huh?
Yeah.
Come on, Lester. Let's go.
How'd you find out? Who tipped you off?
St. Christopher.
The story you've just heard was true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
On August 15th, trial was held in Superior Court, Department 82, City and County of Los Angeles, State of California. In a moment, the results of that trial.
And now, here is our star, Jack Webb.
Thank you. Friends, one of the first things a detective learns is that you can't rely on snap judgments or first appearances. You get all the evidence first, and then you arrive at a decision. And that's just as true when it comes to choosing a king-size cigarette. Place a Fatima alongside any other king-size cigarette. Now, side by side, they'll look identical. When you smoke them, you'll find a world of difference. You'll find, as I have, in Fatima, the difference is quality. Quality that gives you extra mildness, a much better flavor and aroma. If you haven't smoked Fatimas yet, buy a pack tomorrow and see if you don't agree. In Fatima, the difference is quality.
Herman W. Lester was tried and convicted on 3 counts of grand theft auto and 2 counts of grand theft money, all sentences to run consecutively. Grand theft auto is punishable by imprisonment for a term of 1 to 5 years, grand theft money by a term of 1 to 10 years. The suspect was also filed on by federal authorities for violation of the Dyer Act. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, has brought you Dragnet, portions transcribed from Los Angeles.
Stay tuned for Counter Spy, next over many NBC stations.
Mr. District Attorney, starring David Bryan. Mr. District Attorney, champion of the people, defender of truth, guardian of our fundamental rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
And it shall be my duty as district attorney not only to prosecute to the limit of the law all persons accused of crimes perpetrated within this county, but to defend with equal vigor the rights and privileges of all its citizens. This is David Bryan. In a moment, we'll bring you another case from the files of Mr. District Attorney. But first, a word from our sponsor.
And now, here is our star, David Bryan, as Paul Garrett, Mr. District Attorney.
The welfare of a city or county is not jeopardized by criminals alone. Nature itself is capable of sudden and unexpected violence that can lead to terror and death. This case started as part of a natural calamity. A gasoline truck skidded on a wet street, hitting a power pole near the city gas works. Sparks exploded the truck and, like a chain reaction, the storage tanks. In a matter of seconds, the entire section was rocked with explosions as flames swept a quarter-mile area of warehouses and tenements. 72 hours later, the combined fire departments of several cities were still struggling to get the flames under control. The death toll and damages were appalling.
Look. Just look at that smoke.
Did you get the late edition of the paper?
Yeah. 300 dead so far, more than 100 still missing. Lots of bodies unidentified.
What are the names for that? The list of dead?
Right there on page one. Only about 20 identified so far.
Ralph's name, what is it?
No. He's probably all right. A working square like him would be all right.
But he had a job washing dishes in that diner right by the gas tank. The explosion started.
Stop there. Blubbering. Do you want to draw attention to me?
No, Bert. But he is my brother. I've got to worry about him, too, don't I? He's probably dead.
Yeah, he probably is. Your brother, Ralph, is probably one of the unidentified dead. You'll have to go to the emergency headquarters the police have set up in the high school, Lil. If Ralph is dead, you have to identify him. If he is there, in with the ones they don't know, there's nothing you can do to help him. But you can help me, Lil.
What do you mean?
If you find him there, baby, what harm can it do if you identify the body but tell the police it's me? Don't you see, baby? It's a chance for me to get in the clear. They'll stop looking for me if they think I'm dead. Now, look, I'll leave town right now, see? I'll let you know where to meet me. Maybe at that resort place we passed near Lake Bluewater. We'll be free, baby. You and me, free from there on.
But Vance, how? What do we do for money?
There's a safe in Landstone I've been itching to get at for a long time. One last safe job, baby, and enough to see us through. From then on, we'll be riding the gravy train. Nobody ever arrests a dead man. Now, get going.
All right, then.
Good girl. Go on.
You're sure your husband isn't at any of the other places where bodies are being held? The city morgue?
No. Only the identified ones are there. Are you a teacher at the school here, or a detective, or what?
No, ma'am. My name is Garrett. I'm the district attorney. Keep your hopes up, but don't hope too much for a while.
I'll be all right, though.
These are pretty bad cases.
I understand.
This one seem familiar in any way?
No.
This one?
No.
I'm very sorry. Are you sure?
That ring on his finger. I can't do it.
I know it isn't easy, but try to get a grip.
I'm all right now.
You'd better give me his name for the identification tag.
His name is Vance. My husband, Vance Young.
Vance Young?
Yes.
I'm afraid I'll have to ask you a few more questions, Mrs. Young. Would you mind stepping over here into the alcove? I know this is most unpleasant for you at a time like this, Mrs. Young. It's unpleasant for me, too, but I have to ask you. It may be just a similarity of names, but did your husband have a criminal record?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Did you know he was wanted in several states for burglary, safe cracking?
Does that matter? No, he's dead, isn't he?
Yes. I'm sorry I had to do this, Mrs. Young. You will find several men at desks outside that door at the back of the gym. They'll help you with the funeral arrangements.
All right.
That's Young.
Excuse me, please. Oh, hello, Chief.
No. Hello, Harrington.
The mayor and the head of the disaster committee want to see you.
Where are they?
Riverside Garage. They're converting it into a temporary emergency hospital. Regular hospital's overflowing. You'll be ready for your hospital yourself soon. You look tired.
I'm all right. I'll be glad when this is over, though. I hope we never see anything like it again.
Yeah. This identification job is the worst of it.
I've helped with five today. You stand there with somebody, watch their lives fall apart because of a freak accident.
That woman I just saw you with, did she find somebody?
Yes, her husband. Harrington, the man she identified was Vance Young.
Vance Young? The safe cracker?
Yes.
Was he hiding out in a tenement district?
No, she said he had gone to visit a friend at a diner near the gasworks just about a half hour before the explosion. Well, I guess the explosion closed our files on him for good. When you check back to the office tonight, have Miss Miller put out a bulletin to all law enforcement agencies. Take Vance Young off the wanted list. There's no point in looking for a dead man. Sorry, fellas. That's all the breadcrumbs for today. See you for lunch tomorrow.
I thought I'd find you up here on the roof.
Oh, hello, Miss Miller. I was just feeding the pigeons.
Elevator boy told me. Harrington called from the basement garage. He wanted to speak to you. He's on his way up.
Oh, there he is now. Hello, Harrington.
Hi, Chief.
You busy?
No. What's the matter?
Well, I had to stop in at the county sheriff's office a few minutes ago. While I was there, his deputy called in from Landstone. Something he thought we might look into.
What?
A safe at the Landstone Mercantile Company was burglarized last night. A payroll job. Watchman was knocked out, but he's been treated, and he's okay now if you want to go out there and question him.
Well, we'd better go right away.
The elevator.
I'll ring.
What was it, Harrington? A safe cracking?
Yeah. Well, at least there's one safe specialist we can eliminate right from scratch on this one.
Who?
Vance Young.
Oh, yes, I'd almost forgotten about him. Dead men don't rob safes, do they?
Here's the elevator now.
Basement garage, Joe.
Well, this is the layout, Chief, according to the deputy's report. These back rooms are used for storage. He came in through the back, went through that door over there to the general office. That's where the safe is. You want to see it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There it is. Out over there beside the filing cabinets in the corner.
Yeah, look, it's Hercules, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, new model, too. Steel and wrought iron plates and more alarm wires and a police switchboard.
Yes, but a good safe cracker could divert the alarm circuit without tripping it. Then the box is a cinch because he's got the wire holes to start working on. Take a look.
All right. Back plate is blown clear off. Doesn't even look like he used a drill.
No, small nitro charges in the wire holes, and it was as good as having the combination. Oh, give me a yell for the watchman, will you?
Yeah, sure.
Hey. Hey, you from the sheriff's office. Yeah, you. Send that watchman in here, will you?
Oh, here's where the circuit was jumped, Harrington. Neat hookup.
Mm-hmm.
Lab crew take a complete set of photos?
They always do. Oh, here comes the watchman.
You fellas want to see me? And the watchman?
Yes, what's your name?
Edwin Winkler. Everybody calls me Winky.
I understand you were knocked out. How's your head?
Well, aspirin ain't going to help it any, I tell you. I think you're going to get that fellow that did it?
We'll be able to answer that better when all the fingerprints are checked.
Fingerprints? He didn't leave none, I tell you. He's wearing gloves, I saw him.
Looks like our best bet is going to be an M.O. check, Harrington.
Yeah.
M.O. check? What's that?
Modus operandi. All people have definite work habits. Even criminals, they repeat the same procedure on each job they do. It forms a pattern.
Yeah, we've got a pattern here, all right, Chief.
Well, I can think of three men suited by that M.O. Three safe crackers whose work we've seen before.
Yeah. Let's see. There's Bert Larkin, but he's still doing time in Folsom for a job he pulled on the coast.
Yes, and the other two are Jack Fontaine and Vance Young.
Yeah, but Young is dead. That just leaves us Fontaine.
You mean you know who did it with nothing to tell you?
An M.O. can be almost as good as fingerprints or a signature.
Well, I'll be dinged. Maybe that fellow'll pay for slugging me after all. And for hurting my arm when he grabbed me in the alley out there.
You said he grabbed you?
Why, yeah. He whipped my arm up behind me. Then jabbed a thumb up behind me ear. Hurt like crazy.
I got it. A judo trick, Chief. That still fits Fontaine.
It fits Vance Young, too. When did the burglar slug you, Winky?
After he made me open the back door and let him in.
Sneaked up on you before you could draw your gun, huh?
Sneaked nothing. That's why I didn't suspicion him at first. He come walking up the alley whistling like somebody taking a shortcut through. I didn't see the mask he was wearing until I lit a match. He asked for a light, see? And then he grabbed me. He got me in here and then beat on me and kicked me.
That doesn't sound like Fontaine, Chief.
It wasn't Fontaine. He always wears sneakers, comes up on a watchman from behind without a sound. That trick of asking for a match is Vance Young's. Gets the watchman's hands high and away from his gun.
But, Chief, Vance Young is
dead. Maybe yes, maybe no. But I know one thing. We're going to find out. This is David Bryan. Before we continue with Mr. District Attorney in the case of the living dead man, here is an important message from our sponsor.
And now back to David Bryan, starring as Paul Garrett, Mr. District Attorney.
Explosions and fire in a natural disaster had destroyed a section of the city, killing more than 300 people. One of the dead had been identified by his wife, who admitted him to be a notorious safecracker wanted by the police. But now, suddenly, we were faced with a crime having all the earmarks of being committed by the man we thought to be dead. I went back to the office and started to check through the records.
Here's the information you wanted on Young's wife, Mr. Garrett.
Oh, thanks.
She gave her name as Lillian Young when she arranged burial with the disaster committee.
Did she give an address?
Yes, 1310 Morton Avenue. There's something the police made a notation on, though.
What?
That ring she said she identified the body by?
Yes.
Well, the undertaker turned it into the property claims division, but she's never showed up to claim it.
No, I don't understand it. I swear to you, Miss Miller, that woman was not putting on an act. She was hurt, very deeply hurt, and she made that identification. Come in.
Hi, Chief.
Well, what'd you find, Harrington?
Well, I checked on the tag number on the body. Young's body, or whoever it was. Fire department code showed that it was found in the vicinity of that diner by the gasworks, all right. That's where the worst ones came from, the heart of that first explosion.
All right, here's what we do. Mrs. Young didn't claim the ring she used in identification. Get it from the property section. I'll give you an order.
Yeah.
Lots of workers who escaped the blast, truckers, people like that, might have eaten at that diner. See if any one of them can remember seeing that ring before. See if they can tell you who owned it.
Right.
Meanwhile, Miss Miller, I want you to check the Hall of Records. Find out when and where Young and that woman were married. I want her maiden name, where she came from, everything we can get on her.
Yes, sir.
Where will you be, Chief, when I get finished?
I'm going to try the home address Mrs. Young gave. You can follow me out there if you get anything.
Now, this was the room, mister. If there was anything they did, I didn't know about it. My wife and I run a respectable place here, and...
I'm sure you do, Mr. Johnson. I just want to look around.
Well, as I said, they didn't leave a thing. They only lived here 5-6 weeks, all told.
You get to know the husband very well?
To tell the truth, I hardly ever saw him. Come to think of it, I haven't seen him in more than a week since the big fire. He went out one night while that was going on and never did come back.
But you say his wife left only yesterday.
Yeah, right after the morning mail come. She gave him the keys to the room and packed up and left.
After the mail, hmm? You know if she got a letter from anybody?
Yeah, but I didn't see who from or where from. She waited for the postman most every morning. I got a house to take care of. Maybe Charlie can tell you where she went.
Charlie?
Yeah, a cab driver has the hack stand right up in the corner. She called him when she got packed. Oh, there's Charlie's cab now. You can see through the window. He just pulled up.
Thanks. I'll talk to him.
Yeah, so long.
So long.
Yes, sir, where to?
What makes you think I want a cab?
The way I seen you coming to me, I can spot a fair mile off. Where to?
Now, that's up to you, here or the police station.
Oh, cop, eh? What'd I do, forget to answer the ticket?
I'll ask the questions. You pick up a fare yesterday at 1310, the rooming house up the street?
Yesterday? Now, let me think.
Think faster. The landlord said you did. A woman named Lillian Young.
Okay, so I picked her up. So what?
Where'd you take her?
Bus depot.
You know which bus she took?
Oh, no, I don't. But whatever it was, it left 11:05.
You're sure of that?
I ought to be sure. Almost got a ticket for speeding to get to it. We'd had plenty of time if she didn't make me come dashing back here the first time after we was almost halfway to the depot.
Dashing back where? Back to the rooming house?
Oh, no, back to the laundry up the street there. I guess she had some stuff in there, although she didn't bring a bundle out with her.
Place up the street, huh?
That's right. Hop in, I'll drive you up there.
Oh, thanks, but there's a friend of mine I can ride with. Hello, Harrington.
Come on, hop in. I was just heading for the rooming house when I spotted you talking to the cabbie. What's up?
Young's been missing since the fire. Mrs. Young checked out yesterday after getting the morning mail. Caught an 11:05 bus.
11:05. Yeah, that's a northbound, I think. Upstate in the mountain areas.
Well, we can check it later. You got anything on the ring?
Oh, yeah. A guy who was off duty at the gasworks when they blew. He used to eat at that diner. Said the ring belonged to a counterman named Ralph Brenner. He must have been our dead man.
And Mrs. Young must have known him to cry the way she did.
Oh, she knew him all right. Miss Miller checked on her. Her maiden name was Lillian Brenner. The guy in the diner was her brother.
And that's why she was so broken up.
And what's our move? The bus depot?
No, a laundry up the street.
What? Why?
Because that's the last place Lillian Young stopped before she left town.
She was real upset because the pigs wasn't ready. You know how things was. We're 5 days behind on our regular work because of the fire. Funny thing, the only one who complained about the laundry being late was Mrs. Young. Maybe that was only because she had to leave town. She had taken the stuff, whether finished or not. It hadn't been in the tubs.
Well, what did she leave?
Oh, just shirts. Her husband's, I guess. Real good shirts, though, the kind you don't have to starch at all. And fancy colors. Well, my old man wouldn't be found dead in some of them.
She says she'll be back to pick up the shirts?
No, she wanted them sent to her COD. Said she needed the money she had on her for traveling. Shirts like that, you'd think her and her man was rolling in money, but...
We understand, but did she give you a forwarding address?
Yeah, I got it right here in this book. Here we are. See, she wrote it down herself.
Let me see. General Delivery Chief, Lake Bluewater.
Church ready now. They're there on that there shelf up there. I'm going to wrap them and mail them out tonight.
We'll save you the trouble. Just wrap them and we'll deliver them for you. Young's Laundry isn't going to get there until we do.
There's the road sign now, Chief. Bluewater.
25 miles speed limit. Better slow down.
Yeah, not that there's any need to. That's mostly for summer. Season's over now. Regular residents turn in early.
Oh, just the same. It's the law.
Yeah.
Looks like you're right, though. Main Street's practically deserted.
Mm-hmm. Looks like everything's closed up for the night already, except for the movie and the drugstore. Hey, we better find the hotel and turn in.
No, I think we better drive out of town. Find a motel someplace on the highway.
Motels up here aren't much. Mostly cabins with kitchens along the shore of the lake when we get past town. No, here's the end of town now. I can let her out here a little.
I won't mind spending the night beside the lake. The air is crisp and fresh.
By midnight, it'll be crisp and frozen. Here's the lakeshore turnoff. I hope we find a place open.
We will. Some of the owners must stay on to do post-season repairs.
You know, Chief, it's a funny thing about Young's wife remembering his shirts even when she was getting ready to run. I guess it's force of habit for a woman, huh?
Strong thing, habit. Young's safe-cracking habits tipped us that he was still alive. Now maybe his wife's habits are going to make him wish he were dead again. I think... Stop the car, Hyman.
Huh? What is it? What's the matter?
I just saw something. Back up. About 50 feet.
What was it?
Just a flash of something through the trees. Back up. Headlights picked it up as we came past.
Little road goes down there, that's all. Wooden sign on that tree. Foster's Cabins. Oh, yeah. See the backs of the cabins down there? It's all dark, though.
I see something else, don't you? Put the bright lights on again.
Yeah. Wash hanging on a line behind one of the cabins.
Look at the two men's shirts on the end of the line.
Looks like a couple of rainbows even in this light. Hey.
That's the kind of color scheme Vance Young goes in for. The shirts we have in the laundry bundle are just like those. Better put out the lights. Don't slam the car door getting out. Let's walk down and have a look at those shirts.
Right. You know the laundry mark on the ones we picked up?
Yes, four numerals. 1310. Same as the address of the rooming house they lived in. Five now. Got your flashlight handy?
Yeah.
Feel it as much as you can. Marks will be inside the collar. There it is. 1310. Yeah.
Vance? Is that you? Who are you? What do you want?
Come on, Harrington.
Vance!
Hold on, Mrs. Young. It won't do you any good.
Grab her.
Vance, it's the police!
Where is he?
I don't know. He's gone. He's not here. He went into town.
Down there, Harrington.
Oh, where?
The boat dock by the lake. I saw a shadow moving. Let her go. We'll pick her up later.
There he is, Chief.
Hurry. He's getting oars out of the boathouse.
Stay out of the rowboat, Vance.
He's pushing off.
I'm going to jump, Bruton.
Look out, Harrington. The oar.
Oh, Bruton, you cover it.
I'm not as easy as you think.
Look out. I can't swim. He can't swim. He wasn't lying. He can't swim.
Bruton, I got you, Junior. Just relax.
That's better.
Ladder over here, Harrington. Right. I'll give you a hand.
Grab him. He's starting to come too.
I got him. Heave.
I told you I couldn't swim.
Well, where you're going, mister, it won't matter.
Man, look at him. That water's freezing cold. Don't just stand here, Whitty.
Well, he's no worse off than I am, lady.
No, he isn't, Harrington. As a matter of fact, he's much better off than you are.
What's that supposed to mean?
You'll see when we get back to our car. At least we have a nice dry shirt waiting for you.
Come on, get moving.
This is David Bryan again. I hope you've enjoyed this case from the file of Mr. District Attorney. I'll be back in just a moment after this message from our sponsor.
Now, here is the star of Mr. District Attorney, David Bryan, with a word about the program you have just heard.
Having been convicted three times previously for felonies, Vance Young, on this fourth conviction for burglary and assault, was sentenced to life imprisonment as an incorrigible criminal. His wife, Lillian Young, having no previous criminal record, was sentenced to 5 years in the woman's penitentiary for aiding a criminal, obstructing justice, and willfully giving false information to law enforcement authorities. Now, this is David Bryan inviting you to join us when we present our next case based on the facts of crime from the file of Mr. District Attorney.
Mr. District Attorney was originated by Phillips H. Lord.
That does it for Case Closed this week. You can find more from Dragnet, Mr. District Attorney, past episodes of this show, and all the others at RelicRadio.com. There's also a link there to our Shoutcast stream and our donate button. If you enjoy this and all the shows would like to help support it all, give that button a click. My thanks, as always, to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.